to Romans chapter 1. This morning we really focused in on verses 8 through 17. And tonight we had to move kind of quickly through verses 14 through 17. And I want to go back and really focus in on those verses for a little bit of time. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 is where we're going to pick up. And then after that, I share some things with you. I'm going to open it up to some questions, if you have any, or just some time of discussion. Now, if you think that's weird, it's just because that's not what we've grown up used to. But when you study your Bible, you're going to find that that's exactly the way Jesus taught. He would go into the synagogue, or he would get in front of the multitudes, and he would teach, and he would ask questions, and questions would be asked of him. And always, when he walked away with his disciples, they were asking him questions, and he was answering their questions and asking back and forth. And so it is a biblical way to learn, by having a time after the teaching and preaching to have questions and answers. And let me just ask you this. Have you ever walked away and thought, I'm going to ask him something about that? And by the time you walk out the door, you have no idea what it was. Yeah. Okay. I do the same thing. While I'm preaching, I'm like, what did I just say? And by the time I get done, I'm like, I have no idea what I said. Amen. That was supposed to be funny, people. Thank you. God bless you. Gold star. All right. Romans 1:14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, we covered these verses briefly this morning, but let me just back up and say a few things about them. Number one, we ought to have a conviction about preaching the gospel. We ought to have a conviction. There ought to be something in us that drives us to want to share Christ with other people. Now, most of you who are saved, you know this to be true. If you're saved, you want other people to be saved. Is that true? I mean, that's one of my favorite Spurgeon quotes. He said that if you have no wish to see others saved, you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. I think that's true. Because if the Spirit of God lives in you, then he desires for other people to come to him. He wants people to be saved. God wants people to be saved. And if you have no wish for others to be saved, then there's something wrong. But we need a conviction. And Paul said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the otherwise. So the Greeks were the Hellenists. These were literally the Greeks. And then he contrasts them with the barbarians. These are the other Gentiles that aren't Greeks. And so then he says the wise and the unwise, the wise and the foolish. And I think the whole point is, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, I owe the gospel to you. And it's like this. If you lived somewhere and everybody around you was starving to death, and you were outside one day and you found food, it would be wrong for you to take that food to yourself and not share it with everyone else in the community. You would owe them to show them where the food is. And if we're just beggars who have found bread, and we're trying to help other beggars find bread too, then we owe that to people to share Christ with them. Why? Did we deserve the gospel? Did we earn our salvation? Was it by our own goodness or merits or worth or value or our works? Of course not. It's only by God's grace and mercy. And so we owe it to others. There ought to be a conviction to see other people hear the gospel. The next thing is, we need to have a willing heart. A willing heart. He says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He had a willing heart. He was ready in his heart. That's what that means. It's the same wording that the Lord used when he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So this is the same ideology, the same verbiage that the Lord used about your spirit being willing, or your spirit truly is ready, as he says in Mark 14, This is the same thing that Paul says about himself. I am ready. I am willing. My spirit is willing. My spirit is ready to preach the gospel. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that it was exclusive to Rome? Like Paul was only ready to preach to the people at Rome? Well, we know better than that, don't we? He's back. He's at the end of his third missionary journey. He's back in Greece, and he's about to start all the way back to Jerusalem, which ultimately will lead him in chains to Rome. And I can assure you, the apostle preached the gospel. He was ready and willing to preach the gospel everywhere he went along the way, whether free or whether in chains, whether imprisoned or whether on a ship, or whether walking by land or riding on a horse, wherever he was, however he was going, he was ready and willing to preach the gospel everywhere he went. And so you and I need to have a willing heart. We need to have a willingness. And Jesus said about his apostles not being able to pray, he said, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And don't you suppose that in every spiritual discipline, that's our problem? The spirit that's in me is willing, but my flesh is weak. And so what do we need to do? Well, we need to feed the spirit. And we need to beat the flesh, beat the body into subjection, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ so that we follow and walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So we need to have a willing heart. We need to be ready. And then notice we need to have boldness. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I've told you before, I think I mentioned it again this morning, This is one of the most convicting verses in all of the Bible to me. If I'm being really honest with you, a lot of times I hate to even read this verse. Now, I know a lot of you know this verse, you quote this verse, and we all should love this verse, but this verse pierces me. Because too many times in my life I've been ashamed of the gospel. I've been afraid to stand up for Jesus. I've been afraid to be bold in my witness. Paul didn't have that problem. He preached to beggars and he preached to kings and everyone in between. And he had boldness because he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Well, for one thing, Paul wasn't too concerned about what other people thought about him. He was more concerned for their soul. And he understood that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Now, none of us know when we share Christ with somebody, when we give them the gospel, whether they're going to believe or not. We don't know that. So it's our responsibility to tell everyone. There's a reason Jesus gives the parable of the sower, and the sower casts seed everywhere. You guys understand that that's not like normal practice, right? People who sow seed to grow stuff don't just throw it everywhere. Right? It's time to get your gardens ready. Melissa's been getting some seedlings planted, got her little pots and got her special soil just for the seeds and bringing them in when it's cold and getting them ready. And we got little sprouts coming out, right? She didn't just go outside and start throwing them in our yard. We live up on the mountain where most of the yard is rock, right? So what's going to happen there? Well, it's stony ground. We read about that. You throw some over by the fence. You know what's all over the fence row that we have to keep cleaned out all the time? Thorns. Right? You don't just go throw your seed along the fence row. So that parable is really odd. The sower's throwing seed everywhere, throwing it in the way where you walk. You don't go outside and throw seed in the road. No, what do? We prepare the soil. We till up the ground. And so there's some principles there. But the picture is this, friend. You don't know the condition of somebody else's heart. So what do? We share the gospel with everyone and we do it boldly. And we do it not ashamed. Now, I want to tell you this. Paul didn't just have this because it was his natural disposition. I know some of you say, well, I'm just not very outgoing or I'm introverted. Your personal character traits are no excuse for disobeying Jesus. You don't have to be outgoing to be obedient. But check this out. You say, well, Paul was bold. I mean, he was a Pharisee and he had all this boldness, but he prayed for boldness and he asked other people to pray for his boldness. You remember that in Ephesians 6? After you put on the whole armor of God and you're praying, he said, pray for us also. Pray for me that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Maybe we should Stop making excuses and start asking God to give us boldness. Maybe we should stop making excuses and start asking other people to pray for our boldness. I'm 44 years old, I think. I was saved when I was 14 years old. So for 30 years, I began trusting Jesus 30 years ago. Sorry, let's not add too much. 30 years ago. And there have been times in my Christian life that I've been very bold in my witness and times that I've been afraid and ashamed. One thing that I haven't had that I long for is consistency. If you were in our outreach team meeting just a couple of weeks ago, I had to confess that I missed a tremendous opportunity to share Christ with the dying man, and I missed my opportunity. I went back the next week, but it was too late because the man was on morphine so much he couldn't even wake up. I'm not trying to stand up here and shame you and pretend like I've got it all figured out and I do it perfectly all the time because I don't. But we can't afford to be ashamed of the gospel. We have to get boldness from God. 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul says, "Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." I know that you get afraid to share the gospel. I do too. And what are we worried about? Worried about how people are going to respond. We're worried about what people are going to think. You know what he says? There's going to be affliction when you preach the gospel. I don't know why we're surprised by that. So he says, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of others who are in Christ. But suffer the affliction. So what? If somebody gets mad at you, you're trying to get them to hear the gospel so they can be saved. So we need to pray for boldness. When I looked at that word ashamed in my New Testament, I found it in several places where we're called to not be ashamed of Him. And Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And we're called to not be ashamed of the Lord or the gospel or His gospel. But look at this. He's not ashamed. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Just put the two side by side, friends. When it comes to Jesus and His gospel, who has more right to be ashamed? You of your Lord or your Lord of you? Not much of a contest, is it? And yet He is not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed to call you brethren. He has loved you. He has given Himself for you. He laid down His life and took it up again for you. And as messed up as we are, and as many times as we fall short, and as rebellious and stiff-necked as we are, He's still not ashamed to call you His. So how could we ever be ashamed of Him and His gospel? God help us to have a conviction for the lost, to fill the debt. God help us to have a willing heart, to be willing and ready to preach the gospel everywhere we go. God help us to have boldness and to never be ashamed of the one who laid down His life for us and took it up again. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank You for the time and Your word again. I thank You above all things for Christ, and I pray that in all things He has the preeminence, and that we would live with Christ preeminent in everything in our lives. I pray for Your forgiveness for my failure to be a witness. And I thank You for Your mercy. I pray, God, that You would give us a conviction for the lost and a willing heart to preach the gospel to others. Lord, to give us the boldness that we need to never be ashamed. And Lord, let us just soak in the truth that You are not ashamed of us when we're so unworthy. so unlovable so many times, so rebellious, and yet you love us and you call us your own. Please forgive, please convict, and please help. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless our time together here tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so now I want to open it up to you guys. Maybe you have some questions from this morning or things that were just said right now or just comments or anything at all. Don't be shy, but be loud because I can't hear.
So it's not really about having the wrong attitude, it's about not taking action.
Amen.
The measure of whether we're ashamed or not isn't our attitude, but it's our lack of action.
Amen.